Chiropractor.
Yeah, what's your name?
I'm Edgar Lind. I am from Biffa. Now, I will tell you a story about a crane walking along the beach looking for something to eat. And so when he was going to go look for food, he took his eyes off and he put them on a stump and he told them, if somebody comes along, you must holler to me so they wouldn't take you away. And so he went back to the tundra and he was eating berries, and about maybe half an hour while he was looking for berries, his eyes were calling him and he said, Master, somebody's coming, and we see them coming down the river. And he went down and he put his eyes on, and it was only a stump floating down the river. And he put them off and put them on the stump, and he said, you must never tell a lie because it's not good to lie. You must always tell the truth. And so he put his eyes off on a stump and went back to the tundra and he looked for something to eat. And after a while again, maybe 1 hour later, his eyes called him, Master, somebody's coming and they're coming closer and closer and they're taking us away. And it sounded further and further away. So he went down and looked for his eyes and couldn't find his eyes. Somebody had taken them away. And gee, what will I do with no eyes? I cannot find my food. But how did he eat before even he had taken his eyes off? So he went back to the tundra and he looked for some kind of a berry so he could have another eyes. And he found two berries and he put them on and everything was all red. Oh, this will never do if everything is all red. I don't want them for my eyes. And he took them off and threw them away. Then he looked for another berries and he found two more berries and he put them on and everything was too black. Gee, these are too black. I'll never see the sun when the sun shines. I don't want no black eyes. Everything would be black. And he took them and threw them away again. And he looked for some more. And he found some more berries. He put them on. And everything was nice and blue. Oh boy, what beautiful world. Everything would be nice and blue. And he was so happy. Then he went home to his wife or his girlfriend, and while he was going home, he saw his girlfriend. She come running to him and she said, beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. I'll never love black eyes again.
Where you get that story from?
From my grandma, long, long time ago. My grandma used to tell me stories, you know. My father and my grandmother always telling me bedtime stories long time ago.
That story, does it mean, what does it mean to the storyteller?
Well, it's just, they always have to tell us bedtime stories because if we don't hear any stories and we can't sleep right away, and they want us to have rest so we wouldn't have bad dreams when we go to bed, and they always tell us stories that makes us fall asleep right away, and we always look forward to hearing stories like that, any kind of stories.
Yeah, what's the story called?
There was once a crow flying around. He was just lonesome. He didn't know what to do. And for a long time he hadn't seen any people, and he thought he was the only one in the world. And while he was flying around, he saw Eskimo mud house, and outside of the mud house there was a beautiful mink standing outside the door, and oh, he was just glad. And while he was singing like this, oh, I wish I had someone to love me, someone to call me their own. I'd be happy if I had a partner, and I'd be happy all my life. And he landed on the ground. He says, Chamai, hello. How are you? I haven't seen anybody for a long time, and I was just wanting to see if I could find someone. And then the Ming says, gee, I haven't seen anybody for a long time, and I'm just lonesome. I'm very, very glad you came and landed by my house. And won't you come in and have something to eat? No, after a while I want to ask you something, and he says, go ahead. Gee, I'm tired of living alone. Will you be my wife? Oh, I don't know. I've never been married, and I don't think I'd be happy if I get married, but I'm a good provider, I'm a good hunter, and catch lots of fur, and I'm not lazy. I'll get you lots of food, because in those days they did not know stoves. And so the Ming says, gee, are you telling the truth that you're not lazy? Because I don't want no lazy husband. You must get lots of wood and lots of food and get the mink for my parka so I wouldn't be cold. And I will make parka for you too, and make mukluks and make all your clothes for hunting. And so she didn't say anything for a while, and Mr. Ku says, well, will you be wife now that I will be company to you? Oh, maybe I will if you keep your promise. And so they got to be man and wife, and they stay together for a while. And but one time the old Mr. Ku says, see, Mrs. Crow, will you make some makutak and make it very, very good? Whip it good and put lots of berries and lots of tallow, because I'm going hunting and I won't be gone. I'll be gone all day. So he went away and she made a good, she made it just good. And so she do her work, she make mukluks and she make parki and, you know, lots of things she do. And after a while, this was in winter time and it was dark. And after a while, when it got dark, maybe about 11 o'clock, somebody out there in the porch says, hey, you, if you don't give me a kotak, I'll eat you alive. And poor she got just scared, because she don't know anybody besides her husband. And she took that kotak and she threw it out in the porch, and somebody out there, just like he's eating. And so maybe about 5 minutes, but in those days they did not know clocks. She threw the dish in the house, and boy, she had licked it very, very clean. The dish was very, very clean. And in those days they used a wooden dishes. And after a while here comes her husband. He was just lazy, walking lazy, and says, what's wrong with you? You feel so lazy, and I made some makutak, and somebody come, they scared me, that they're going to eat me alive, and I have to throw the kotak out in the porch. Oh, when I was walking over there, I met a person, and he showed me his grub, and so I'm not hungry. And you want something to eat now? No, I'm not hungry. So they went to bed. But a few days, maybe 1 week later, he said, you must make some more kotak and make it better than last time. And so she made the kotak, she made it very, very good. And so old Ku, he went hunting again, but in the evening again, there comes somebody in the porch. He says, hey, you, if you don't give me a kotak, I'll eat you alive. And she listened for a while. She, I think that's my old husband. He sounded like my old husband's voice. And there was a fire in the middle of the room when they didn't have no stoves, and a stick that long with a piece of coal at it. And she took the stick and she threw it in the porch, and he said, mm. And maybe 5 minutes he didn't come in, and he went and let his eye and his hand in his eye. He says, what's wrong with your eye? Oh, I bumped and I hurt it over there, now I can't see. And she quickly took his eye off, and see, there was lots of coal in his eye. Gee, you lazy good for nothing. I wouldn't have him for husband anymore. She took him and she threw him out. And She said, I'll never get married again. And the old Kohi was walking. Gee, I shouldn't be so mischief. Here I lost my good wife, and I will try to be good from now on. And I think she lived happily ever after.
Yeah, that's the story where you get your mom?
That it's all these stories what I'm telling my grandma and my dad used to tell me, you know. And well, some of them tell us that if they tell us stories, so when we grow up, we would not be lazy, not like that old crow. We must always help somebody who is in need or sick, or they have no food. We must always give them, and that's why they used to tell us stories, you know, so we would remember them when we grow up.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. What's the name of the story?
The Needlefish. The name of the story is Needlefish. And once there was two little old women living by the slough, and they had a little mud house, and so they were cooking supper, something to eat for supper. And when their cooking was done, they dish it up. And while they were cooling it, one little old woman, she's greedy, she said, now, little old woman, you mustn't eat all the grub because you always eat too fast and I never get enough to eat. And you finish all the grub before I start eating. And she said, yeah, I want to eat all the grub. I never get enough. And so they got mad at each other and they were fighting and pulling their hair. And they just fight hard. And boy, after a while they got tired and they lay down, they fall asleep on the floor. And after a while they woke up and everything was white. You know, see, has it been snowing while we were asleep? And we never got any grass for our mucklucks. What will we do this winter when we don't have no mucklucks? We shouldn't be so greedy and not fight over our grip. And so one of them, she was too hot, she went out, and they were living at the bend of the stool. You know, it was like this, and here was the house. She went out, and she heard somebody singing from up there. She says, Ach, du Chilinga, bin ich loco, bin ich da loco, in um Toka, ching ich a Ramka, am Atenika, arna karlok, nach la kaktok, kachar la kaktok, kukagen kpachlukia, ach, hochaya, she said, there's two little old women that live on the other side of that, bend, and I'm going to eat them alive, cut them in half and eat them alive. And when he scares them, he goes like this, oh, 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 yeah. And poor, she was just scared. She ran into the house and she told a little old woman, said, hey, we shouldn't be fighting over our grandpa. I heard something up there is going to eat us alive. And so the other little old, she went out and just, now there's a team voice from up there. It says, Ach, chilinga, bin ich loco, bin ich da loco, ingum tuka, ching ich a ramka, amatinika, arnach karlok, narla kaktok, kacharla kaktok, kukarnuk pachlukia, ach, hukhaya. He says, over yonder, there's two little old women, and I'm going to eat them alive. And boy, they just got scared, and they had a little old canoe, birch bark canoe. They took it down, and they put pitch so it wouldn't leak. And they took that little old house. He must be strong. He must do like Papa. I always eat the spinach. They took that little old house, and they put it in their canoe. And they had lots of paths where they go for sandberries, cranberries, spinach, and wood. And they gathered all their paths and put them in their little canoe, and they were canoeing away, and while they were canoeing, they heard the same voice right under their canoe. It said, Ach du Chilinga, bin er loco, bin er tar loco, in on to ka, chineka, ramka, amatineka, arna, karlok, marla, kaktok, kacharla, kaktok, kukawan, kpachlukia, oh, hoya, and she looked down in the water, and there was a little tiny little fish, just singing away with its eyes closed and its mouth wide open. And, oh, you're the one that's been scaring us. We aren't scared of you. Here, you partner, give me my ullock. And she gave her ullock. Give me my bread knife. She gave her bread knife. And give me my dipper. And she put the bread butter here on her legs. She scooped out a little fish. She says, I'm going to cut your life and we're going to eat you alive. And she cut the fish. I'm going to eat the tail because the tail makes us run fast. And she gave the head to the other old lady and she ate the tail. And they were going. They never heard anything. And, oh, we might just as well go home because nobody's going to scare us anymore. And they went back and put their little old house and spread their paths. And they lived happily ever after.
Yeah, okay. What's the name of your story?
The Porcupine and the Beaver. Once there was a porcupine walking along the river, and he was just hungry. And while he was walking, he saw across the slough, it was a little narrow slough, just like our cabin cook down there, and he see roseberries over him, and boy, they were just red, you know, and porcupines, he just loved rosebuds, and you know the rosebuds got all lots of little needles just like the porcupine. And oh, those berries make my mouth water. I wish I had some, but I can't swim across. And so he sat down and he was just feeling blue. Gee, even the reflect in the water, nice and red. And after all, he comes somebody from upriver. He could hear him make noise in the water. And it was a beaver. And he said, Mr. Beaver, will you do me a favor? I'm just hungry and I'm getting weak. And I want to eat rosebuds over there, but I can't swim. And Mr. Beaver says, first you'll have to pluck all your quills from your belly. Then maybe I'll take you across. And poor Mr. Porcupine, he started pulling the quills from his belly, and when they were all gone, he said, all right, Mr. Beaver, will you take me across? Yeah, if you got no more quills on your belly. And he said, nothing, now I cleaned them all off. And so Mr. Beaver, he got down in the beach, and Porcupine, he got on his back and he swam across. And so he landed him right where the roseberries were. And he said, thank you, Mr. Beaver. From now on, you'll always be lucky because you brought me over when I was very, very hungry. And everywhere you go, you will be happy. And so Mr. Porcupine, he ate all the berries he want, and he was just full. After a while, he fell asleep because he was so full of roseberries, and that's how the beaver got no fat on his back, and the porcupine got no fat on his belly and no more quills. Yeah. It's a Pussy Willow song.
This song. Where did you learn it?
I'm going to sing a Pussy Willow song because the children like it. It goes like this. When the pussy's on the willow open in the spring, if you listen very closely, you will hear them sing. We are pussies, we are pussies, though we never purr. We are gaily swinging, swinging in our coach of fur.
Who made that song?
Long, long time ago in 1909, I learned it when I was in school. And we used to sing it in school. I never know who made it, but it was in our song books, you know.
Yeah.
This is about the white owl telling her children while their daddy go and hunt food for them, and she was singing to them like this. Hi-ya-lo, ma-hi-ya-lo, ma-hi-ya-lo, ho-ma, hi-ya-lo, ho-ma, hi-ya-lo, ma, hi-ya-lo, ho-ma, yak-ki-yuk-chi, yak-ki-yuk-chi. Atta-si-ma-kat-ki-shka-ni-ma-ka, ah-an-ch-ni-ak-tut-chi, ak-si-ni-k-ta-si-man-nak, Ayago ma, ayago ho ma, yakki yukchi, yakki yukchi. She said, going, 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 and your daddy went out hunting, and when he comes back, he's going to bring five ptarmigan, and you must flap your wings. And while she was singing, old crow comes along, he sat down by the white owl, and he said, say, your old auntie, you're not singing it right. I'm going to tell you a better way how to sing it, and you must follow me. And so the old crow, he says, Ayago, mahayago, mahayago, homa, ayago, homa, hayago, ma, ayago, homa, yakkeokchi, yakkeokchi. Atazi ma katkishkani ma ka anghniak tutsi. Avlingak niktasi mannak. Ayago ma, ayago ho ma, yakkeokchi, yakkeokchi. Told the old owl, she didn't like it. She told her children, you're not going to eat five mice, you're going to eat five ptarmigan. I'm going to sing a song, and if I see flap your wings, you must fly away with me. And so she sang like this. Ayago, maha, ayago, maha, ayago, homa. Ayago, homa, ayago, ma. Ayago, homa, yakkeokchi, yakkeokchi. And she said, flap your wings. They all fly away and left the old crow all by himself. And the old crow, he was just feeling ashamed. He said, gee, why did I ever tell Mrs. Queen to tell that her children will eat five mice instead of ptarmigan? And he was just looking at them for a long time, and he couldn't turn his neck, and he was looking for a long, long time. And oh, I think I'll go and do some more mischief to some other people. And while he was flying, he saw two little birds. They were trying to make fire like long, long time ago when they used to have a stick. You know, there was a stick and a string, and there was a hole here, and they put the end here, and they were going like this, trying to make fire. And they said, ah, you old crow, don't come back and bother us. You're too mischief anyway. And so the old crow, he went away. And while he was flying, he see a bear. The Mr. Bear, he had just killed a reindeer, and he was skinning it. And so he landed by Mr. Bear, and Mr. Bear says, Black Bear says, Mr. Crow, won't you have something to eat? No, I'm not hungry. I had lots to eat over there, but while I was coming, I saw a dead seal by the sea. Won't you go and get it and have some for your supper? Oh, I think that's a good idea. I'll go and go get the seal. And so the old Mr. Bear went down by the sea to get the seal. And while he was gone, old Mr. Crow, he had very, very fast from the winter tallow, and he finished one tallow, and after a while, here comes Mr. Crow, and he was just mad. You lay good for nothing, Mr. Crow, why did you fool me, and you eat my meat now, what I caught, and he slapped, he was going to slap him with his hand, but old Mr. Crow said, ah, you can't catch me, you can't fly like me, and so he flew away, and poor Mr. Bear, he was all by himself, and so while he was flying, he come to the sea, and he see great big whale down there, and you know, he let them, the squirt appear, and when the whale squirt appear, he flew inside the whale, and when he flew inside the whale, it was a little house, and there was a little old woman over there, and up there was a light, and old woman said, sit over there on the other side of me and have something to eat, but you must never touch that light up there, because if you touch it, we can't go no place anymore. And so he stayed there for maybe 3 or 4 days. Well, why doesn't she want me to touch that thing? I'm going to say why she don't want me to touch it. And he put his finger, little finger, and all at once everything got black and didn't move anymore. And while they were sitting there, didn't know what to do, they heard some people from up there say, hey, we found a great big whale, and it doesn't have no mark. Nobody ever shot it, but it's dead. I think we cut it up and bring it home. So they starting to dig their knives, and they cut chunks off, and when he took one chunk off, he flew out way up just fast. After a while, he come down where they were cutting the seals. See, you people, you must not take any food from there. I think that poisons, because I see something flew up very, very fast, and I didn't know where it was going. And it was himself that flew up, and so he come down and scared those people, and he said, don't eat that meat, and don't you bring any home, because you're going to get poisoned. And so they all went home and didn't bring any meat home. And oh boy, I'm going to have the whale all to myself. And he stayed there a few days, but he got tired of eating whale meat, and so he flew away and looked for another place to go.
Mm-hmm. And that story, where you get it from?
My grandma and my dad used to tell me those are old stories. They go from generation to generation, because, you know, if we don't tell it to these young people, they'll never know what stories we told long time ago. So we have to keep on letting them go, be remembered, you know.
That mouse
and her grandma, her grandma, there was a mouse and her grandma living all alone, and the grandma was trying to make a party for the little mouse, but the naughty little mouse, he kept walking back and forth in their window. You know, they used to have window up there made out of skin, and he kept going back and forth, just scabbish, and grandma said, don't go back and forth all the time, I can't see. But she just kept dancing, scabbish, and grandma, she got tired, and she took her wooden tipper, and she go like this, and the poor little man says, ah, es como no te loco, tu le magmando vaya mucho can. Then it stopped. So the grandma got worried, and she went out, and there was a poor little mouse in a little hole. When she hit the window, she rolled over and she fell into that little hole, and she was dead. And poor grandma, what am I going to do with no grandson? So she bring the mouse in the house, and she spread out the wooden grass, grass, what used to make them poor mattress, and she laid her mouth on the grass, and she put parky on and muck socks and mittens, and she was going to sing, she was going to dance, but after a while she heard something, and here comes old Mr. Crow. He says, "Hey, oh, Grandma, you mustn't do that. You up that little mouse and wrap it up in that grass mat, and you could put it on that tree over there, and every day you must go and see what will happen." And so the old grandma, she wrapped it up and tied it, and she took it by the tree, and every day she go and cheat. And on the 50 she went out, and that old crow, he was eating it, and so that's the way he wants me to do. I should have sang for it and danced for it, and then I wouldn't have to, the old crow wouldn't have to eat it. The what you took what the you got to eat it. I was knocked down at the local home, taught in Piskin, like a good thing, you come, knock on a look, taught in Piskin, yeah.
Gassas Nagnak Alfin.
Oh, and she said, if long time ago somebody died, the people would dance, but the old crow told them to put it by the tree, and he ate it, and that's how when somebody died, we mourn for them. Otherwise, we would be happy if somebody died, if the old crow didn't tell that grandma to take the little mouse and put it where it was. You had to go after to read Dorton Pinriskan Bim to look at home and Rodin Riskako.
Oh, yeah. How old does it took?
How old was it? Oh, I was born 1901.